This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So welcome to this All Saints Sunday. If you look above, all of the banners that are flying over our heads today are saints that have come before us. And saints, not necessarily by way of living a perfect and pure life, but rather more people who believed in the way of Jesus Christ in our lives and who have died and joined with God in heaven. Now, some of these names have been duplicated because I keep the banners every year. So it's a helpful reminder to think about all of the people in our lives who have shaped and formed us. But when we think about what it means to follow Jesus Christ, I would make an argument that today, this gospel reading, also known as the Beatitudes, as you may have heard, the Sermon on the Mount is one way that it is explained and described, is sort of the outline, the map of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Now, this is important because Jesus goes up to the mountain, and if we remember from the very beginning, a man named Moses had come down from the mountaintop to teach the followers the law of God. And today we encounter Jesus going up to the mountaintop, and those who are his closest followers follow him up, and he begins to speak, and he taught them saying, and again, proclaiming again the truth, this new law, this new way of being. And he outlines it quite clearly. Now, the term blessed means many different things. If you've been to a Cracker Barrel, there's a lot of blessed going on in the Cracker Barrel. If you've ever been to Hobby Lobby, blessed is everywhere. But what does this word blessed truly mean? Well, I would argue that it can mean different things to different people, but Jesus sort of gives us, again, a good definition of what it means to be blessed. Some people translate it as happy. But again, what does it mean, happy? Does it mean that we're always smiling? A perpetual grin on our face. This idea of happy and blessed. Well, let's take one each in kind. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit can mean many things, but primarily it means to live without a need for our own righteousness. Think about that again. To live poor in spirit means to live without a need for our own righteousness. It means creating an inner emptiness that we know can only be filled by God. And in that inner emptiness that can only be filled by God, we recognize that our outer need for a reputation is not where we will find satisfaction. That the higher we are in the system, the more trapped we actually become. And that those who are actually outside the system that the world has created are actually more free. Blessed are the poor in spirit who live without a need for their own righteousness, for they don't have to play the dirty games of the world. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Perusing the Hobby Lobby and the Cracker Barrel, you might also find a sign that says, salt cures everything. Whether it be sweat, tears, or the sea. But Jesus is pointing out that those who can grieve, those who can shed tears, those who can cry be vulnerable in their pain are also those who can understand someone else's pain. You know, I would say culturally, especially for men, the idea of crying is somewhat looked down upon. That it's a sign of weakness when we cry. But right here, Jesus says, those who can grieve are closer to God. Those who can cry and let their pain and their sorrow be shown are those who are closer to God. Those who can let those feelings overwhelm them can then understand the pain and sorrow of another person. Saint Ephrem from the 4th century, a saint from the 4th century, he would say, until we have cried, we do not know God. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, some would translate this word meek as gentle. Blessed are the gentle. You see, Jesus is turning the order of its day on its head. When he's talking about inheriting the earth, he's talking about inheriting the land. And during his day in Palestine, there was nobody that was hated more than the landowners, than the landlords, than those who possessed the land. And the only way that they could possess the land was through violence and oppression and by holding on to it and making sure that others were powerless. And that the powerless and the peasants had to pay a portion of their harvest. So when Jesus says, the meek, the gentle, are the ones who are going to inherit the land, this had both, you know, it had a sentiment, it was a metaphor for something much bigger, but it was also actual saying, those of you who are oppressed, so these others can own the land, one day this will all be yours if you remain gentle and humble in heart. Jesus says, no, it's no longer going to be the powerful ones who possess the land. But you small, weak, vulnerable ones, in the kingdom of God, you all will possess the land. And so knowing his audience, Jesus says this with a little bit of sarcasm. And knowing there's irony there. Because in the system of the world that they were in, they're like, how in the world would that ever be possible? But in that is this idea of hope. Blessed, he says, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Saint Augustine, another saint from the 4th and 5th century, says that our hearts are restless until they rest in God. That our hearts are forever restless until they rest in God. And so we say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled because they will truly understand what it means to rest in God. Because the world cannot truly satisfy what our heart desires. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Now the thing about mercy, it's right up there with forgiveness. And we could do a whole sermon about what it means to forgive, to be forgiven. But ultimately, mercy and forgiveness are unearned, undeserved, and not owed. Mercy and forgiveness are unearned, undeserved, and not owed, and yet God says, blessed are those who give mercy. Who give mercy to others who have not earned it, who may not seem to deserve it, and certainly are not owed it. Because that is a reflection of the God that we believe in. God grants us mercy and forgiveness again and again and again, though we have not earned it. That we may not necessarily deserve it, and we certainly are not owed. The Hebrew word for this sort of understanding of mercy is chesed. Transliterated, it's like C-H-E-S-E-D. And essentially what it means is it's a steadfast, enduring love which is unbreakable. Blessed are the merciful who show a steadfast, enduring love that is unbreakable. They in turn will receive a steadfast, enduring love that is unbreakable. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Every morning when we gather together, we say the first opening prayer that we say is called a collect for purity. We pray that God knows everything that's in our heart. We ask for cleansing of our hearts so that we can prepare our hearts and our minds to receive God. To you, God, all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts so that we may love you and magnify your holy and sacred name. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Because when we hold on to coldness, when we hold on to unforgiveness, when we avert, as someone wrote, our loving gaze to another, to intentionally make that person feel rejected. Now, how many of us have done that? We are not able to see clearly. You know, that passive aggressiveness, we want to cut somebody out or let them know that we're mad, but we're not going to tell them why we're mad. We want people to feel rejected when we feel rejected, but I can't tell you why or what you did, but I need to make it clear. God says we cannot see clearly. Blessed are the pure in heart, and the only way, my friends, we can purify our heart is to make it be known, to let go of those things that bind our heart closed. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. You may have heard of the Pax Romana if you had any history class. The Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome. It was a period of time for about 200 years where the Romans believed everything was peaceful. Well, essentially what it meant is they weren't fighting anybody anymore. See, everything in the center of the Roman Empire seemed easygoing. The people who established the rules were getting people to obey the rules. The land that they wanted, they owned. They didn't need to go and take it. But the people who were on the outside of the center would probably have a different understanding of this time period, the Pax Romana. It probably wasn't so peaceful in their mind. And the way the Romans saw it is like, well, as long as we're not fighting someone else, peace is at hand. But sometimes, friend, oppression doesn't look like war. And it creates a false sense of peace. But it's only achieved by the sacrifices of others. But as Christians, we are called to live into the Pax Christi, the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ waits and works for true peace. The peace of Christ sacrifices this false sense of power. It sacrifices prestige and possessions. Those are the peacemakers we are called to be. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Notice the first and the last beatitude are the present tense. The first and the last beatitude are present tense, which means you don't have to wait for it someday in the future. You can be happy and blessed right now. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great right now. when we live this way of life. So essentially, to sum it up, the Beatitudes are a set of descriptors. If someone were to say, how do I follow Christ? What does it mean to follow Christ? You could pull out Matthew and you could say right here in the Beatitudes, these are the behaviors, the attitudes of someone who is free in Jesus Christ. You see, because the Beatitudes encapsulate a different ethic. Our world has its own set of ethics, but the ethics of the kingdom of heaven are contrast to those. The ethics of the kingdom of heaven say that those who are perceived to be powerless in this world are powerful because they understand what it means to be full in Christ. The Beatitudes announce a reversal of values by providing a glimpse into the kingdom of heaven. The Beatitudes reflect who is honored and who is exalted in God's eyes. Some would say that All Saints' Day is one of the most important celebrations of the church year. Because what we celebrate today are lives before us, but we're celebrating the joy of those lives and the joys that they left for us. And that none of us are on this journey alone. That indeed, as members of Christ's one body, we are part of a community, of a social reality that under the law of the Beatitudes looks very different from the law of the land. Richard Rohr calls it Jesus's alternate plan. There are many diverse ways in which Christ, throughout the agency of the Holy Spirit, has been present in the lives of the men and the women across ages, just as Jesus Christ continues to make himself known in our life today. And we might argue that these courageous souls that have gone before us bore witness to Christ in a way and have invited us to continue that journey and that witness. But see, the men and women here are not simply examples of faithfulness and true, they were human beings. And I'm sure we could all find examples of when they may have come up short. But what we do know is that they were active in their love and their prayer, constantly pursuing and running after God and Jesus Christ. And for us, they are companions along the way. Eugene Peterson writes in his translation, his own personal translation of the Bible, it's called The Message. If you've never read it, it's very good. It's often used in churches. You can read it as the scripture, but it is his sort of translation, his paraphrase, but sometimes he just brings it down. When he talks about the Beatitudes, when Eugene Peterson translates the Beatitudes, he tells the story like this. When Jesus saw that his ministry was drawing huge crowds, he climbed up a hillside. Now, the truth is, I've been to the Holy Land. It really isn't a mountain. It's more like a nice hill. He climbed up the hillside, and those who were apprenticed to him, think about apprentice, disciples, they were the committed ones, right? They followed him. And when they arrived at a quiet place, Jesus sat down and taught, I like how he says, his climbing companions. Maybe we could all think of ourselves as climbing companions as we continue to try to grow closer and closer to God. And this is what he said. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Because only then can you be embraced by God, the one that is most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourself proud of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. That hunger and thirst for God's food and drink is the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. And at that moment of being full of care, careful, you find yourself cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you show people how to cooperate instead of competing or fighting. That's when you discover who you really are and where your place is in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution, because the persecution will drive you even deeper into God's arms. Count yourself blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me, to discredit Jesus Christ. Because what it means for them is that the truth is so close, and it's too close because it makes them uncomfortable. And you can be glad when that happens, and you can cheer when that happens, even if they don't like it, because God loves it. And all the heavens will applaud. All the heavens will applaud, and you know that you are in good company. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. We will be like him, for we will see him as he is. See what love God has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Amen.